Well, good morning, everyone. It is now 10 o'clock. Today is October 27th, 2022. I want to welcome all of you. My name is Felix Lopez. I'm the chairman of Las Animas County Board. So at this time, I'm going to ask all of you to please rise, and Commissioner Tony Hayes is going to use an invocation.
Dear God, we come to you today thankful for the changing seasons. Lord, thank you for those who protect us here in the Grove. Thank you for the strength and the guidance to continue on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And if you'll please remain standing, we're going to go through the Pledge of Allegiance. Ex-Commissioner Ken Torres, would you please lead us on the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you once again, gentlemen. All of you, welcome, Mr. Doran Camp. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez?
I'm here, and Commissioner Luis Lopez is attending a meeting with TPR, so he sends his deep regrets, but there is three of us, and there is a couple more meetings. Noon will also be one less. Commissioner Tony House will be attending Governor Polis's opening of the state park. 11 miles open. So at this point in time, did we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dorican?
No changes.
Okay. Motion to approve that agenda, sir.
So moved.
I second that.
Commissioner Pizzo.
To a source energy presentation, and this is what we're having here today. We'll be talking about basically this opportunity that is being brought to us, and certainly we hope to have a dialogue and conversation so we can go through the process. So Mr. Torres, yes.
Thank you, Commissioners. Phil Donnacan for putting this event on for us today. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ken Torres. I'm a former county commissioner, like Commissioner Lopez stated. Source Energy came to me about a couple months ago with some new technology that can benefit Los Angeles County and the city of Trinidad. It's a super capacitor battery that's been developed that they wanted to bring this technology to Trinidad. And the principal individual that wanted to put this together was Gordon Sanchez. Him and Franco, Franco was a businessman here, Aguero from Trinidad. We formed this team, and they brought their team down, Source Energy's team from, you know, California, you know, New York, and elsewhere. Brad will be speaking on that behalf, but Gordon Sanchez has a lot of family ties in Trinidad, and he wanted to bring something to Trinidad for some opportunity to put this new adventure of industry for green energy. I want to thank everyone for being here. I know we invited the city, and I know with the governor being here, I spoke to several city council members that couldn't be here, you know, regarding that. We have the press here, but after today's presentation, at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a demonstration with the supercapacitor they put together that can take the grid offline and using the supercapacitor to bring it back up without using the local electricity here. So, without further ado, I'm going to let Gordon speak a little bit on behalf.
Thank you, Mr. Torres, and I also want to welcome. I see Dr. Randa Epper from Trinidad State and Mr. Doran Camp. I can't see who else is joining us online, but welcome to all of you.
And we have a city council member.
And yes, we have some city representatives, councilmen, welcome. And if you have at any point in time any questions, please feel free to come up to the mic. And if there is any clarifications needed, please, let's make this a conversation, not necessarily a monologue. So please, welcome.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody for coming and being today. Like Mr. Torres indicated, we've been starting this discussion. We've been in it for a while. Okay, I don't know what that was. Is that a question? But But I would like to thank everybody for coming. We have people actually who came from New York, Pennsylvania. We have people who came from New Mexico, North Carolina. We actually have people from all over the country here today. And a lot of that is for the demonstration of what we're going to do later on today. My intent was really to bring this technology, because it's cutting edge technology. It's kind of disruptive in so many ways. It's something greater than solar, greater than what's going on with wind energy right now, the new energy, and what's disruptive right now is containerized solutions, containerized energy, batteries. So we thought that one of the best places to bring it would be Trinidad, Colorado. We have significant roots here. I have significant roots here. I can tell you that once I'm up the river. If you're from Trinidad, you know what that means. I played as a kid up in the Purgatory. I saw the coke mines, and I've driven by them 1,000 times. Wileyville was our town, and it's really not a town anymore because it was taken over by the reservoir for the Army Corps of Engineers. But we've got something really big. It's happening, and it's going throughout the United States. We're going to start right here, though, and we want to make this a focal point of it. I think that it puts Trinidad on the map. Just bringing these kind of individuals from all over the country here today kind of is the beginning of putting it on the map, and we appreciate the invitation to be able to demonstrate it to you and show it to you. And I know it's a busy day for the governor being down here, but at the same time, I think Trinidad, we're going to put you on the map, and we already are. So we're going to do a short presentation today. But thank you for putting in the miles. I know some of you came in on flights and drove all the way down here. And now you know what Trinidad is and why it's so important and near and dear to our hearts. I could talk for hours about, you know, anywhere from the Ludlow Massacre and miners and everything that's happened in this area. I mean, that's near and dear to my heart. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here. I want to welcome all of you on behalf of the Board of Los Angeles County Commissioners. So welcome to Colorado, welcome to Trinidad. And if you're going to spend a few days here, please take a moment to visit the beautiful outdoor spaces that we have and just the beautiful community. What we have here in Trinidad obviously is opportunity. And as rural as it gets, Trinidad, we had an opportunity to visit with a group of individuals up in Colorado Springs yesterday. And every time we go outside of Trinidad, it gives us an opportunity to shout it from the heights, because Los Angeles County, we are creating a footprint of just opportunity. And so for that, sir, I'll give it to you. And again, anyone in the audience, please feel free to raise your hand and come up to the podium and ask any questions, because although Los Angeles County is not a broker of energy, we are consumers of energy. Anytime there is an opportunity for an elected official, for any public officer, to look for savings and to benefit our community, I can assure you that this Board of County Commissioners will be at the table. So from that perspective, welcome once again, and please walk us through your presentation.
Sure. My name is Brad Bickle. Joe Carbine and Jordan Sanchez and Hervé Ibe. We're all part of America Clean Energy Group. I know a lot of you know us by Source Energy Developers. That's a sales and distribution and development arm for our company. We're involved in manufacturing, distribution, and assembly of this amazing technology. We brought a PowerPoint that will kind of guide us through what we're talking about. One thing I wanted to make, you know, and put it on record, we're not here to take jobs away from the community. We're here to add jobs to the community in several different avenues. You know, I think we'll be able to create those opportunities for the county, for the city. And this technology has the power to do that. Joe, if you want to join me at the podium, we'll go through and we'll talk about different things.
I think it's very zoned.
Okay. All right, so you can see it.
Oh, it's not showing up on the TV.
So I think the biggest takeaway here while he's getting that ready is that we're not a chemical energy storage technology. We're advanced energy storage. No one really shares that space with us. We own that space. We don't have any chemicals in our battery, so it's intrinsically safe. And we'll go through kind of telling you what I'm going to tell you. The non-chemical aspect, the end of life usage, the strategies, what do you do when we're done with it? You know, all those things, we check all those boxes. Safety, the first box. Eco-friendly, another box. We check all those boxes with our technology, and now it makes solar, wind, and all the other renewable energy technologies viable. Because it'll store, it'll charge in 30 minutes. It'll hold the charge for 10 years. And Joe, do you want to say something here?
So basically, the battery is charged by electrostatically. The battery is charged electrostatically and not chemically. So you can discharge it down to 99% four times within a 24-hour period, and it never degrades. It'll go 25 years, it does not generate any heat, you can stick it out in minus 20 degrees, weathering up to 185 degrees. So it's there are 25,000 of these units that come in various sizes, 4 kW, 4 kilowatt hours, 7.1 kilowatt hours, and they're deployed all over the world, just not known here in the United States. AT&T on the remote sites are using these units now. So where they used to have 15,000 pounds of lead acid batteries, generators that would run 12 to 18 hours a day, and there's solar there, now the supercapacitors charge up within an hour. And 24, when they look like stereos from the 70s, about that size, 3.55 kilowatt hours. And they charge up within an hour, and they run the whole site. This site is north of Las Vegas, up in the mountains. And the generators don't even come on anymore. So it's groundbreaking technology. And the inventor is continuing to invent. They have EV supercapacitor charging stations that can do 5G charging stations. But we're concentrating on residential, commercial, and then we can put these into containers. So a 40-foot container would have 1.6 megawatt hours, and you can discharge that. If you have a solar field, you put containers out there, and you hold that energy to the point where you have a peak. Peak power usage is typically from 4 to 9 o'clock, and you discharge it during that peak time. And that's what we're at the center of the bullseye for all energy related discussions here in the United States is how do you take that solar that's generated from 11 to 3 and seated to when families come home and they're cooking their meals and they're running their air conditioning, and that's when the peak times occur.
I can't get it to work in this right now. People are plugging indoors.
So one point of clarification, yes. Mr. Carbine, you mentioned that your batteries at a 20 degree below.
Yeah.
What happens when the temperature gets lower than that?
So, good question. So, the batteries just are a little bit less efficient, but the round trip efficiency is a 99.1%, which is unheard of. There's really nothing else that touches that. So, if it really, really gets cold, you stick it in a box, but they'll still operate. And the heat doesn't bother it as well. As, you can stick these things out in the desert and they continue to live. Of the 25,000 units deployed around the world, probably half of them are off-grid. So we're talking to companies like Evergreen to maybe convert some of their remote locations to solar and super capacitors and make it a greener product. There's so many applications for this in the telecom communication. My partner Herbie and I were building, we're closing in on 1,000 multifamily homes in South Texas. And truth be known, we don't even have to be connected to the grid anymore. But we choose to, because 1,000 homes is about 20 megawatts, which then we can convert and send that power out to the grid during an emergency. So there's a lot of different, and then we add more solar to the house when it's available, put three more super caps in, and we can charge our own electric cars every day. And that's what we're designing.
So kind of a follow-up question on that, how do you work with cities? You're talking about not taking them off the grid. And please, from the city of Trinidad, and I don't want to speak on their behalf, but certainly I don't understand, I'm not an electrician, but one of the things is, how do you transport that energy through, I don't even know if it's that private line, private grid, do you get a contract and agreement? Because here in Las Animas County, we do have the city of Trinidad being the provider of the energy, and then we have San Isabel on the county side. So from those perspectives, how do you navigate the complexities of managing the grid to provide the services to the end user?
Yeah, so that's a mouthful.
It is.
but doable. So part of that comes under the heading of distributed energy. So let's say you have a school and you put solar on the school, you put batteries on the same school, so whatever you don't use doesn't go into the grid, it goes back into your battery and then it runs the facility for the rest of the day. It's kind of like a microgrid. So you're still connected to the grid as a backup, but you're going to generate, and that will, you probably generate 70% of the power needed. Water treatment plant. You know, if you have the space, you know, you put the solar around and you put the batteries in there and you offset that. And so everything that you generate is used right on site. Whatever's not used doesn't go back to the grid, it goes into your battery. And that's how things are going to happen. Because you can't string enough copper to run all these EV cars that are going to be coming online. The just 50% market penetration for EVs, the grid will have to grow about 3.5 times what it is right now. So when you look at all your rooftops, they're going to be loaded with solar and batteries, so that'll free up some, but that'll free up, if you did it right, that'd free up about 145 gigawatts of power. And everything will have to be used to facilitate the change to a kind of electric economy.
Without getting ahead of your presentation, you're talking about non-chemical energy storage. One of the challenges, I believe, that the energy companies are facing right now is, what happens thereafter the useful life of these batteries,
right,
that are on the market? You're creating these storage facilities. Yours, on a previous conversation that Mr. Sanchez and I had, biodegradable, is that what?
Yeah, it's graphene, so it's 85% recyclable. It's made out of carbon.
I'll stay back, and I know this is so interesting, but please proceed.
You go through the next slide.
Just an FYI, those folks online can't see the presentation. I just saw some.
So some of those things I've already mentioned. So there's no thermal runaway. There's no opportunity for the or to go on fire. So it, a 7.1 unit will hold 296 amps. We watched it as it's being discharged, and you'll see today that the temperature doesn't rise. There's no heat given off, so there's no opportunity for anything to go on. We're not marketing this, but the company is telling us that we're working with the inventor, that these units can go 45 years. Because it's electrostatic, there's very little parts to wear out. Anything man-made can have things go wrong, and you fix that, but the main components are made to last a long time.
Just a quick question, I'm getting some texts or quotes or anything from Jermaine.
There's folks online, so I'm not sure why those names wouldn't be working.
Okay, I'll just try and join again.
Are you letting them in that? Do you have anybody in the waiting room yet?
So these are available in many different sizes and capacities, like this.
Not many. They're in, they were a lot more, but now we're learning that a 7.1 unit can be used in residential, commercial, telecom. The unit on the left there in the picture is used all through West Africa on telecom and communications. Instead of lead acid batteries, and very, very successful operating record right now. So there are some off different smaller sizes and some bigger ones, but the two most ordered units are 4.0, 4 kilowatt hour, and 7.0 engine.
So, Mr. Carbine, yes. Extrapolate on the kilowatt hours, a single family home consumption. Absolutely. So, for our viewers and even for those of us here, what is the average consumption for a multi unit family?
So, I know in Texas the average house uses about 23 kilowatt hours a day. But it can range. You know, that house may have be heated with natural gas. If you have an all-electric house, you're going to be in a 35 to 38 kilowatt-hours a day for a 2,200 square foot house. So if it's smaller than 1,800, you're going to be down around 22 to 26 kilowatt-hours a day. So these units, the way we're working with them in Texas, we're going to run 12 hours at night. Everything that we make during the day, we don't use, we dump into the super cap, and we'll run the house all night long. And if there's a power outage, our tenant won't even know. It has a 10-year warranty. You can discharge it to 100%. We tend to discharge it to 99%. Lead acid batteries, you can only discharge, 50%. Most batteries you never discharge down to almost 100%. So it has some huge opportunities. And it has a lot of protection. Not only did they design the system, but they designed all the software behind it. So you can operate this right from your phone. Or charge protection, probably too much information. In the center of that slide says thermal runaway. We've all heard about lithium batteries going on fire. So there's no chance of this catching on fire because it heats up. So that's important.
What is the reaction of your batteries when they come in contact with saline water or just regular water?
Well, they're typically, that's not going to happen because they're going to be in a, if we have them outside, if we have them inside, we're going to have them in a NEMA rated container so that no kiddos walking by can, reach out and stuff for the funds. So
But in the event that they would come in contact with water, I'm sure they would be disrupted.
Yeah, well, it should just shut off.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an emergency shut off. So it's, these things are rated for over a million cycles, and you'll never reach that. So typically, under the 10-year warranty, we want to do keep it to four charge or discharge within a 24-hour period, which really there's no battery on the market that does exactly that. You can see that this is just technical information. I'll just show you something else. So these are containers. In Saudi Arabia, they're developing an all-electric city. And these containers are going into that city. So it'll capture the wind, the solar. There's some generator there, but and it's, they have different sizes for different needs. And they come in, you know, 400 kilowatt, 800 kilowatt hour, and 1.6 megawatts. So a 10-foot container probably would stick something like that at a water treatment plant.
We can do a quick break just to try to get others and other individuals trying to join them.
Sure. Sure, I guess we'll make just a brief recess to see our Zoom. Apparently, is some individuals are not able to join us.
Any questions? Anybody have any questions at all? Like the cost manager?
What's the cost of this?
Yeah, we'll talk to you afterwards. It costs a little bit more than lithium, but you're when you install it with solar, you're going to get solar at 30% investment.
Do you have the right Zoom address?
Yes. So, when you install this with solar, you get a 30% investment tax credit from the federal government, another 10% for battery, and there's other hurdles that if you meet them, you can get up to 50% back in the first year. And then you count on running this 25 years. And you, the return on investment is excellent because you only put it in once.
So let me put it in a different perspective. What is the cost per kilowatt hour? Because that's usually how we read our invoicing from the local providers. So I think that's rather than saying is less or more. I think that's Mr. Sandoval's question might be a better answer from that perspective.
Yeah. So
let me take this. So we're advanced energy storage. So we're not energy generators. You know, solar, they generate power. We're storing the power. So I'll give you a snapshot on a comparison between the Tesla Powerwall Plus, their brand new unit. It takes 13 months to get one if you try to buy one anyway. But the cut sheets, the spec sheets are published online. So we compared our technology to Tesla. In a 30-day time period, we require 60 hours of charging to yield 800,000 watts in a month's time. That's energy going through our storage and into being used. Tesla, they take 180 hours to charge in the same 30-day snapshot, and they can discharge up to 324,000 watts. So we're about a 500,000 more watts of delivered power that can be stored and then eventually delivered compared to a Tesla Powerwall Plus. So the technology is unbelievably advanced in that respect. So the cost, to go forward, I'm not dodging the question, but so there's an engineering firm in St. Louis, and we met and we talked about it. They job cost energy storage for hospitals and universities across the United States. And so they job costed our product. And they look at life cycles. how many life cycles will the technology endure? So you're looking at 5,000 life cycles for the life of a lithium-ion battery storage system on average. You know, we're at 36,500 life cycles in a 25-year period, where they're replacing theirs 2.5 times to replacing our technology. We think it'll go longer than that, but that's the difference in the technology. Okay.
So I think it may be proper to insert this extrapolation here is, so this is a two-part, I think is what you're saying is you're an energy storage entity. The energy producing, so now I think, Mike, what we're looking at here is perhaps two, you have to have the solar and or wind to drive that energy into the,
and so, you actually use excess energy
or
from the grid.
So or a generator.
Yeah, or a generator, or even the utility company. If they have excess and available energy that's not being used during the day, they can actually store that energy downstream, past the last substation, stored up in megawatt container levels, 30 megawatts worth of stored energy, and then discharge it at will. Our software enables you to program it, discharge or manually or automatically, even based on what the load is in the grid. So, a lot of applications, residential, commercial, industrial, utility grade applications. We just bring it to the lowest common denominator, which is one unit, 7.1, and all.
Okay, so do you have any kind of a breakdown for like per household, what that might be for?
It varies from one household to another, depending on how much energy that house is using.
An average? Do you have an average? Or?
The standard home that uses 10 kilowatts of solar panels.
Yeah.
And that will maybe run the entire home, maybe we'll save them a little bit of money. When you add a couple of advanced energy storage to that, what's not being used during the day is stored in our advanced energy storage module so that we can run the home all of that long. So around 10 kilowatts is that average residential solar design that you see. Now we're designing the hybrid systems for different solar resellers around the United States. So we have solar dealers that taking our energy storage into the market. Even those homes that didn't qualify for the no money down solar programs you hear about, now with our module, they can reduce the size of the solar array by 30%, and they can still qualify and be able to pay a system off to a bank, a credit union, a purchase company. Our energy storage technology provides those benefits and advantages to your citizen. It'll be a long time before any utility company, I want to say this, will ever be replaced. That's not our intention.
No.
And I think that that's the first thing we hear when we go into a market. Wait, what are we going to do with all the jobs that we have with our utility companies? Hey, we're here to support. We're here to be a solution to when the utility companies have to come in and upgrade their infrastructure. Now they have another option, another piece of that puzzle they can use to upgrade their infrastructure using advanced energy storage.
So is there government subsidies going to be involved there?
So the last act that was passed extends the ITC, the investment tax credit. And so if a homeowner or business owner, you know, puts solar on the roof or in the parking area and put the battery in there, they're going to get 40 to 50% back in the first year. So the payback, depending on what you're paying per kilowatt hour, it's going to be way less than 5 years, which is excellent. Yeah. The higher the cost per kilowatt hour that you're paying now, then obviously the better return.
And that's a big reason why we chose this. You know, Gordon has ties to community, but the electricity rates here, I think, are close to 18 cents. So it kind of helps to have another option to help offset some costs for consumers, residential citizens here. So the higher the price, the faster the system is paid off. Compare that return on investment. So it's not a bad spot for dollars and cents strategy for our company. The interest, you know, in the county above, in this county, in the different industries, is so great that and we may even be able to bring some of our assembly operations here to the city. The interest is so vast. Even solar companies who install large solar farms are looking at buying our industrial grade solutions so that they can hold that energy and discharge it later. Even old solar farms that have power purchase agreements can have managed financially and strategically.
Like I mentioned earlier, we may be helping the homeowner or business on the energy side now, and that's going to free up the grid for the utility itself, for the EV cars that are going to be being, there's going to be millions and millions of those out on the road, especially coming up and down the freeway here. You could have an electric charging station right along the highway here, and that's going to be huge. All the trucks are going to be electric, they have to be charged. And that power has to come from somewhere, so we're freeing it up on the commercial and residential side so it can be used in the transportation side.
You know, even with the utility company that have this and already those kinds of resellers and power generators, you know, they buy a blended mix of energy from you. They buy hydro, you have energy, then it cuts down on the cost that they have to be sure they have enough energy. It's a piece of the puzzle for the utility company once they embrace our technology and understand it. So maybe they're not.
So has that connection been made already from your company?
So in lots of different areas, right. Not just here. We're waiting for guidance from the county, people involved. You know, this is your community. So we just wanted to demonstrate our technology.
I can answer that. Look, yeah, I did have some conversation with Wick Weagle, Martha, the director. He wanted to be here, but they had a board meeting today scheduled. They needed a recorder. He's very interested in this new technology, how to apply it to not only Los Angeles County, but all the southern counties that's associated with ARPA. So there is some interest there. You know, I know we talked to the city, so I know the city has two representatives at that meeting today on the ARPA board. So there has been continuity to gather to try to see possible ways to reduce the cost of utilities for people of southern Colorado and independent Los Angeles County.
Well, and I think for the consumer, for the end user, it's going to be how much money do I invest and what is my return on investment? How long is it going to take? That's going to be the formula that's going to drive the success of what you're proposing here. And I think the question of how much is this going to cost that was posed to you is, you know, a simple formula. I mean, if I'm going to buy this, how long? So.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Kind of a comment and a question. Last year, the ITC was 26%, and they just raised it to 30%. So within the first year of the investment that the person goes solar, they will actually have 30% of their investment back in-house through the federal government with them going solar. The reason that solar is such a powerful thing to all of the homeowners and businesses in your community is that the homeowners, they can also put any type of home repairs that they might need to make their home energy efficient into their solar financing. So typically, usually we see about a 30% to 25% reduction in the homeowner's electricity bill. The reason that that's so important is that if you pay a $200 electricity bill for around 12 years, that's over $38,000 that the person has just wasted. Typically solar panels, they last about 45 years, but the great part about it is that they have great low financing, anywhere from, you know, 2.9 to 3.49 for 25 years at zero out of pocket costs. This also goes for the commercial side at zero out of pocket costs for 25 years. And actually the banks compete to see who's gonna be able to give the business owner the lowest rate. The question that I had for the electricity authority there, I just wanted to check and see if you guys were gonna be participating in the zero net metering program where the homeowner depends on what type of offset he has to the grid. If he has 100% offset, then that just means that the solar is taking care of the energy that he's using. It's kind of like a grocery bill. You add up all your groceries for the whole year, and then you divide that and say, okay, you use $200 a month. That means that you're going to need 40 panels. So what we're doing is basically checking to see if that person goes over that 100% where they're actually pushing energy into the grid, will that homeowner or business get paid the same rate that the electricity company is charging to push that energy back into the grid? That's my question.
So to answer that, I don't know exactly what the ARPA does, but most co-ops, they'll charge you one rate, and so you're gonna make more power early in the year, and you save, that's called net metering, and then you use it June, July, and August. But if the utility doesn't reimburse at the retail rate, or they do net metering on a monthly basis, not on a yearly basis, then you lose a lot of dollars. And that's where energy storage comes into place. Energy storage, any excess you make any day, any month, goes into your own battery, and you get to use it back every day. And that's the value of that. And as electricity rates go up, it becomes even more valuable and makes you independent.
Sure, jump up here. Speaking from a personal standpoint, I'm a business owner here in Trinidad, in 2013. With the different challenges that we're facing, energy need, it's important to be inventive and innovative, but the most important part of that is cooperation. What I was faced with when I did my due diligence was that on average in the United States, people pay about 6 cents per kilowatt hour. In Los Angeles County, we're paying up to 18 cents, three times more than the national average. My ROI, my return on investment, which I think is what you were earlier, we calculated it will be approximately 28 to 32 months. We're investing about $400,000 to convert to the system, but our electric bill every month is almost 18 to 20,000 sometimes. So with that kind of consumption, and the other thing is we would rather store the energy instead of selling it back at 2 cents a kilowatt hour. That's all we'll offer you, is 2 cents. But then they'll sell it back to you at 18. You produce it. So produce it, store it, and use it. This is all part of a very large dream that I have. I love that it's coming together. I would love to see Trinidad be the forefront in representing and bringing this technology that brings so many positive changes that we need in this country today. So I'm taking the chance. Our company has put out it's necessary to make this happen so we can not only take advantage of ourselves but show others and have something that we can get into the future.
Are you in the process of completing your project?
Our project is in process right now. We're expecting delivery of batteries here soon. We are going to be putting in the solar field, which right now we have a net metering device which will tell us our use so that we can actually make the whole system work seamlessly between the production of the energy all the way to the storage of it and then the consumption. So it's really a great thing that happened here for Trinidad, because I think that branding
branding a city or a place is very important. And Trinidad has lived with a couple of brands. One of them, Sex Change Capital of the World. We still talk about that. It's been a while. Now we have marijuana industry coming in. It's helped the community financially. So people are with it, some people are not. But at the end of the day, it brought something to this town. But my dream, my vision is to see Trinidad be the energy conservation capital, a place where people can come and get educated, learn about it, attract other entities to come here and invest and make our country better.
Thank you.
I'll just run through the rest of these slides quickly. Software, you can monitor every level of operation of the SuperCap. And that's what we'll be doing at Franco's location. You'll be able to see exactly at any time what's going on. This is a hospital in Somalia that has solar, and the supercaps are running the whole hospital. And there's a picture of that. It's a 20-foot container standing behind it are the supercaps. And it's 85 kilowatt hours, but more than enough to run that whole hospital. There's another picture of Somalia location. This is out in California. There's one of these in Yellowstone Park. When the flood came through Yellowstone last summer, this kept the lights on. Just additional pictures. The lower left-hand corner, the right-hand corner is what's going into Saudi Arabia. There'll be hundreds of these containers in there. That's also Saudi Arabia on the right.
And you don't need to vent, right? Because there's no heat signature.
Yeah. So you don't have to air condition it. You don't have to put fire control in it. Mm-hmm. So this is the site north of Vegas. That looks like a lot of solar, but it's about 27 kW. There's supercaps are right there, 24 of them, and they essentially run the whole site now. So there are two other. Verizon was up there; their generator was running. You just can't charge up the battery supercap. But essentially, the generators don't even run anymore. Provides 100% of the power and not using the liquid petroleum, propane up there. On the right side is 15,000 pounds of lead acid batteries, which they were lucky to get 3.5 years out of.
So, have you had a disposal of your batteries? You mentioned that 85% of that battery is biodegradable. The other 15%
is metal.
And that's recyclable, that's reusable.
Yeah. This is in Nigeria. Once again, that tower company is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And they're using supercapacitors. All third world countries have really embraced this because it works so well with solar. A little bit different wiring techniques than the US, but it works. And this is running a healthcare facility in Somalia as well, another location. So it's very robust, and it's just amazing that, you know, we talk to people all the time here in the US, and they, their eyes glaze over because they don't. If every everybody's focused on chemical batteries.
So what was the reaction from the EPA when you presented this? I'm sure you know, through your back, the EPA here in the United States, the...
We haven't even talked to the EPA yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We probably will be, but we're starting small and working on our projects. And since we know Franco and Gordon and met the Evergreen people last night, we have a lot of interest from the oil and gas community to take the pump jacks and pumps offline from diesel and electricity and groundbreaking from solar and battery.
You know, here in Colorado, the institutions of higher ed,
yes,
CSU Pueblo to be one of them, apparently just went on 100% renewable energy. And I would imagine that we have a local college as well, you know, there, and I happen to spend my career there. There's a lot of consumption of power. There might be some interest because state agencies may be eligible for additional dollars, saving, therefore, tax dollars for the taxpayer.
Right.
Well, back on to the EPA, let me just interject this for a moment. So I had a client that wanted two batteries. We make these in Dubai, and we're tooling up a factory in South Texas, looking for assembly operations, and I needed two, by the way. So I had to fly them over on Air France. We're the only energy storage technology you can put on an airplane and fly.
Well, we have an airport here in the San Francisco.
And
we have space for a building up there, so you can actually build the assembly here in Los Angeles County.
And our certifications, you know, we're CE certified. We've gone through all kinds of safety, magnetism certifications, and safety certifications. But on our material safety data sheet, which is what customs uses to clear our packages and our technology, totally intrinsically safe. There's no lithium. There's no toxic. So the EPA has no reason to go there. We're not in violation, we're not walking the tight line, we're not in the, you know, the edge. We're so far over here on safety and eco-friendly on that chart. They'll love us and the conversation.
Let's see, we have a couple of contractors in the audience here. Do you have, can they locate the MSDS sheets on your website?
We'll get them up on the website. Yeah,
okay.
We sure will. Yeah, for sure.
I just wanted to mention also that this isn't something that we've been in discussion here in Trinidad as well. We are actually having a discussion right now with one of the largest employers, if not one of the largest employer, Evergreen Gas Company. So Evergreen is somebody that we sat down with Mark Sexton. We've sat down with his engineers. We've had discussions with them, so they understand what we're doing. It's our intent to actually do like a pilot program down here with them, where we go head to head with lithium batteries. So we'll go head to head with Tesla and Elon Musk. We are willing to do that, to demonstrate it, to show what our product is. After they've looked at our products, they want to maybe do 2,000 wells potentially. So, I mean, this is going to have not just an impact on the consumer as they're sitting there in their home, but it's actually going to have an impact on more jobs, more employment, helping the corporations. We're talking to people throughout the county, throughout the city about different issues that where we can assist them. And I think that's important. One of the other things, I think you talked about water, and I know that Mr. Carbine talked about water. I just came from Florida about 8 hours ago and I flew in. And because we want to assist in hurricanes, because we essentially want to help individuals as they're coming in and they're losing their grid. There is a town down there, a city, a community called Babcock. You can Google that. That city was set up similar to what we're trying to do for people here in Trinidad. And as the hurricane came through, they're the one community that stayed online. You could probably compare that to a really bad blizzard here. But everything went down, grid goes down. We want to put you in a position that maybe we can continue moving forward during that natural catastrophe and actually keep things up, because we have that capacity to do those things. Water, you talked about water and you asked about water. There were like 7 or 8 Teslas that, because of the saline water that went through there, it was a big deal for them on saline on that, because what they did is they blew up. That's not gonna happen to us. And we're cognizant, we're very cognizant of that, of these issues. We've talked to your fire marshal, he's talked to us about it, because fire, starting things on fire and, you know, melting things down, and for the fire departments not to put, be able to put things out, that's a big problem. That, we eliminate that. We don't start on fire. That's a big deal. It's a safety factor, as Joe talked about. So I think that though there's little issues, as I'm hearing as we're talking about it, that can greatly assist you. As we move through that and as we grow, I mean, if we're doing thousands of wells and we're doing other things with other people, like not just, you know, Evergreen, but Ogris, you know, New Elk. I mean, we're having talks with everybody right now. They need us. New Elk, is because you're at the end of the line. So New Elk coal mine doesn't get enough energy to probably act and work at the capacity that they should be able to work at. Well, we can help them. We're using local electricians. You could probably take our electricians, and they're probably some of the foremost authorities right now, because we're using, already, we're using local people. But we're not going to just use them here in Trinidad. I really envision that we're training them to really kind of go the whole Rocky Mountain region, all the way into Texas, Trinidad, and be part of a bigger thing as well. So this is big for you guys. This is big for us, and it's big for you. And I said it assists you and it assists us. So in so many ways.
So I hope your conversations have gone insofar as, you know, the San Luis County, the Raton Basin is filled with geothermal. I mean, I did a research many years ago when I was at Trinidad State, and we wanted to install a geothermal processing, if you will, hands-on lab. And so I had an opportunity to do tons of up and down and conversations with the know-how, and also with the ability to have this natural gas extraction that we have in San Luis County. There is enough, I believe, depth and capacity to provide a, now you're talking the second step of the question that was asked. You store it, but it could be produced here in the San Luis County as well. And then you have the airport that I'm going to continue to promote, so you can fly in and out. Because, you know, here is an opportunity that partnerships to put money back into the consumer, if indeed, I have no idea, again, the legal perspective, that's where I'll step back from. But at the end of the day, it's got to be a collaboration to benefit the end user, the consumer, up and down the interstate.
Well, as you know, Felix, Mark Sexton, I think he's probably one of the smarter guys, not just around here, but in that whole industry, in the oil and gas industry. We talked to him. I had lunch with him, and I talked to him about geothermal and production of geothermal, and the potential to maybe even do geothermal, do a utility scale plant up the river, and actually create more power utilizing the geothermal. So we're aware of that. We're just trying to, like, we don't want to blow the lid off right away. Like EV, so we're talking about electronic vehicles. We bought Teslas. We're testing those back in Dubai. We can take, because of our energy storage and the density of our energy, we're going to be able to take electronic vehicles and probably triple what they can do with their batteries. And also think about this, then you put that battery in and the safety factor. Where it does with the safety factor, it helps with the consumer, because we're not going to be blowing up the cars anymore. And we're going to be taking them 2 or 3 times as far and in a lot smaller package. We're moving into things, and I think it's a great thing to hear this for Trinidad and the University of College, is that we're moving into nanotechnology. So we're going to be bringing things here, and if it's nanotechnology, you know, that's not happening in many places in the world. So to be able to train individuals at, you know, Trinidad College, we're going to take them from minors to nano experts. And that's part of what we want to do as well. So
just to wrap up a point that I just thought about is degradation of equipment, anything that you run on electricity, right? Like the power that we get from Butthole, by the time it gets here, it's only 60%. So that makes your pumps, anything you're running, work harder and run out, or it cuts their life down like quite a bit. So we're having to replace ballasts or pumps or whatever it is that much quicker because we're getting the leftovers. We're at the end of the line here. If we don't do something about it, with these rolling blackouts that are guaranteed, not if, but when they start happening, we're going to suffer the most. Along with other communities, they're in the same kind of situation. This is a solution to become independent and bring something to this community that it deserves, that all the communities in the United States deserve this.
Let me go to Mr. San Esteban a question.
I'm here, San Esteban with World General. You talked about creating new jobs. Have you guys gotten as far as what you might be able to do here in Team Dex to create new jobs? What kind of industries?
Thank you. Thank you for that question. My name is Irvin Eman. I'm one of the partner, and then I like numbers, so I can answer the question on the numbers. As far as the job goes, yes, actually that was part of our initial assessment as far as how to invest in a community like Trinidad. We have already looked at some of the numbers based on what we believe we can bring here. We also know the population, the local population, so we believe that the job that we're going to create here are going to be beyond just the locals, because it's going to be more than what the city or the county can potentially sustain. So, but it is a good thing. That means that we'll probably bring more people here.
And what kind of, like I said, manufacturing jobs, building?
Correct. So we are on different fronts. Yeah, manufacturing job, but you got to look at it from the perspective of a technology. Because this, when you talk manufacturing people, users, people have a different view of that manufacturing job. What we're talking about here is they want all of the high-paying jobs based on technology, right? Because people need to be trained to be able to put together supercapacitors, right? So this is not just something that anybody can just jump on and set. So there's a little bit of a level of training, and with the cooperation, why was it a partnership of the city and the county, using the college, we can definitely push that training system local. So we believe that on the job front, we're not really concerned about that. But I'll be happy to give you some numbers when we.
And I have a second question that's totally different.
Sure.
You talked about talking to the three major industries, the coal and the oil and gas industry, just as you've thrown in. Are you going to use some of the coal or some of the natural gas, kind of combine, the left hand washing the right hand type of thing, to bring up this clean energy? Could you guys talk a little bit about that? Is that kind of any plans?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's actually part of our plan. Most green technology, or when you exchange with other companies, the idea is that, we have this green technology, we're going to have to move oil and gas and coal out of the way. Let's be honest, it's not happening right now. It's not for the next 50, 75 years, maybe 100 years. We'll be all gone. That coal is still going to be used, right? The reality is that you have to find a more hybrid option. And so we aim for that. We believe that's the only solution that most communities should be embracing. Yes, you want to phase away, but it's not happening right now. So we want to work with all the different industries, whether it's coal, whether it's gas, oil company, in order for us to be able to move forward.
Any of these technologies, once they adapt this to their system or integrate it, creates, you could touch on that, please, carbon credits, which is
absolutely
something very sought after by
So that's one of the benefit for the other industry, right? one of the problems that the gas and coal and oil company are facing is the fact that some don't look at them not too green per se. But this, you have a carbon credit just by using our merging our technology with your industry. So we have the ability to, I would say, make them a little bit greener, right? And so there's a lot of, I can go into the technical and the financial aspect of how that would benefit all this different industry, but from a green standpoint, it is actually a win-win situation for everybody.
So just real quick, and more specific to your question maybe is, we've actually had very small businesses, but we're kind of, the incubator stage and maybe kind of having a discussion about graphene is a carbon-based product. What does that tell you? What is coal? What are all those tailings all along the highway 12? If there's any way that we can incorporate that into manufacturing, because whether it's here or Pennsylvania or otherwise, we're starting to have maybe discussions about that, that we want to even present that to the person that developed all this, the actual inventor, because even in this area, if we could utilize the coal tailings, that would be huge for all of us.
We have to find all this out.
Oh, yeah. And this is just discussion we're having, but and we don't know where that really fits. But you know, those are important questions that I think community even places us that we can take back to the inventor. And you know, it's important to us. So when you ask that question, it's important to us as well.
Yeah. Commissioner Hess. I really appreciate the conversation we're having about manufacturing and job creation at our airport. We're actually in the concept of studying an industrial park to put out there, and that would be a great place to be able to do this manufacturing. Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
That was going to be my question also. Thanks.
Ms. Support.
Thanks. So I just want to make sure I understand. It's all energy, no matter how it's, because we talked about geothermal, we talked about evergreen, all of that, all of it can be stored in this. However, it's generating energy.
Yeah, if you use geothermal, you're going to convert it to electricity, which then would be stored.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then I've heard 85% recyclable, but I've heard biodegradable. Which one is it?
It's 85% recyclable, and then you have the steel, which is.
The steel is.
If it is
recyclable,
yeah. So let me build up by, frankly, you bring up a really good point. Later on, by the way, we're going to have a hands-on presentation at the Los Alamos County Fairgrounds. One of the things that you make a really good point, and if we're getting 60% of the 100% that we're expected to be receiving, then there is 40% effort from those compressors and any type of mechanized system. When we go there, Mr. Gorenkamp, I don't know, I'd like to measure the capacity that's coming into our facility before and see what happens, because I imagine that if I'm only eating 60% of what I could be, if you give me 100% energy, what could that do to the equipment that's there? Maybe, I don't know, a power surge. I'm speaking on layman's term because I
extends the life of
your, absolutely would.
Your power factor is off.
And I like the concept that you said is if you do not consume it, you put it back in there rather than selling it for 2 cents per kilowatt hour. So great point. Put it back in the refrigerator, rewarm it tomorrow and consume it again. So great information.
And Tony, you asked a question about the college. So at 18 cents per kilowatt hour, you could put shaded solar parking in the parking lot, use the roof. I mean, it's not unheard of to get 50-70% of your power right on site, and then you store it. And that's really what you should. That's really what you should be looking at. We have a city in South Texas on the border that wants to partner with us, a private-public partnership to do exactly that, go through the whole city and do microgrids.
And I think that would probably answer the question, because I know you asked the question a few times about the airports. But we're very open in that kind of structure, public-private partnership on different investments. So we're doing it already before the city. So that's something that is always on the table for us to answer how. The most important point to make here, though, I want to bring that to, you know, just everybody's attention. It's usually the problem is not the county, the city, or the private company. The problem is usually if it is a, well, some utility company work with us. Most of the time, the co-ops are the ones that don't want to work with us. And I understand that. But we want, the message that we want them to receive is we're not coming to take their position. We want to work with them. And so that's the key, right? We're not taking anybody's place. We're just providing a solution to improve everybody's
And that would, thank you for saying that, because my perspective is, since we, Los Angeles County, we're consumers of energy, we're not brokers. If we were a utility company, from the county perspective, I think we would be putting a different perspective on it.
Right.
And so that's going to be the legal concept that needs to be walked through or creating a partnership. And that's why I think Mr. Torres brings the point that ARPA has already initiated a conversation with your group. And so now the other perspective would be the provider for the county, which is San Isabel Electric as well. You know, that again, and I think as a capitalistic approach to what we do here in the United States of America is having the opportunity to investigate, and if we can save, why not?
Absolutely.
Mr. Sanesteve.
One more question. A recent Chamber of Commerce luncheon, Mr. Sexton mentioned a power plant that was going to use solar, wind, geothermal, probably going to use the other energy, coal, and oil and gas. Is your group interested in something like that to help the here in Los Angeles?
This is what I would say. We're probably not, I'll have to speak about this for now. But to give you an idea of why we can't say anything else.
Because there's been a positive buzz since the luncheon, people in the community talking about it. That's why I asked
the
question. If you can't answer, that's
cool. Yes, the only thing I can say is, we're in the conversation. Would that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Here at Team Los Angeles County, we've got to divide and conquer and get all these other meetings. Would you like to trade with me and go up there?
No, sir. I'm going to stay with the team. I would rather. I'm going to stay with the group here. And certainly, any other questions? Any one of you online? I don't know if we still have a representative from the college. Earlier I saw Dr. Epper.
Excuse.
Okay, Dr. Epper, any comments, any questions for the group?
One more question for the group. I'm John Rockney from the old line, so we're very interested in exploring something new. But also interested in solar as a source, combining it. Are you working with any particular solar company to be able to present a package solution for an industrial user?
So we have, the answer would be, we can provide you with a package solution.
A competitive package solution.
I think Mr. Lockby, anything from our partner, councilman? Any questions, any comments?
No, it's time to just take a moment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. Chamber. Yes, Chamber.
Can I also talk to Setna? Yeah.
Ken?
Who?
Setna. That's the new biofuel plant that's going to be moving into the Walsenburg area.
No.
So it created an enormous buzz. Y'all were to talk with them. Additionally, your plants that you're already producing in, what is the capacity? What is your growth plan for creating those plants across the country? Well, obviously,
yeah, I mean,
here in the airport.
We need to go look at the airport.
Yes. I tell you what, flying your plane and we'll go pick you up.
Well, no, that airport could take, that airport could take this city to the same level as, like, say, Edwards, Colorado, or some of the cities along I-70. I did developing in Aspen in the 70s and Vail in the 80s. It's coming here, guys. It's coming fast.
So to answer the question, initial why, our initial plan was manufacturing location throughout the U.S. Because of the demand that we're facing right now, we have to increase that number, obviously. And Trinidad initially was not on our A plan structure. But since, as you say, we increased those numbers, and one of the reason is really obviously in this room, our good friend here, Ken Torres, really was the one that keep telling us that the opportunity was there with Bolton. So we look at the option, and so there are some real opportunity here. That's one of the reasons why we actually come to see it physically. To answer your question on the size, on average, we aim for about a gigawatt.
That's multiple gigawatts.
Yeah. So we can go from there with the option to obviously increase based on the demand. So, but one of the clients, one of the clients that we're talking to right now, we believe that just with this client alone, we are forced to wrap the manufacturing. it's just a must.
For those of you visiting Las Animas County for the first time, let me provide a little bit of a historical perspective. We're going through what we know is real is this inflation. And Las Animas County, of course, like anything else, we're going through the process of identifying affordable housing. And we know that there was a report that I read just recent that we're not having the capacity to spend every dollar that we earn because we're paying so much of it to the inflation. And so Los Angeles County, we have a Department of Health and Human Services that provides services assistance to over 8,000 individuals here. And so not only are we having some fixed incomes and families that are paying, they still have to pay the everyday expenses. It is getting to the point that this would be a huge relief. I think it would be a great opportunity to do an infusion of savings. And I know it's not gonna happen overnight, but if we can create this, get away from the dependency of those high costs and the return on investment. I know Franco talked about for his business, 18 to 20 months, that would be great. And I wonder if that's gonna be the same perspective for a homeowner. If 18 to 20 months is where they'll begin to see now the profits, and at the end of the day, having that excess energy stored for them, there might be a day that they'd be able to sell it back at a better, decent rate. But just to give you kind of an overall, Los Angeles County and Trinidad has had this boom or bust. And in the time that I've been here, very fortunate that we've seen stability. But the cost of energy is real, and the demand is going to only continue to grow. So
absolutely. And just going to piggyback on that, if I may, there is actually a plan to be able to do that with this is what we're doing in South Texas with one city. We developed this partnership with them. And so it gave us the opportunity to totally analyze the overall need of the city and to push out a plan that will respond to those needs. So For instance, to be more specific, if I'm a homeowner and you know, I own a battery, I would like to sell the battery. I want to sell the excess power back. Right? Because for me, that would be an extra income. So from a perspective of, you know, someone that's on a fixed income, but I invest in this thing, right? I get to pay off my investment and now I can generate extra cash flow. It is actually a beautiful thing. The reality of our capitalism system is that you're gonna have to sit down and talk to your utility company to negotiate with them, teams, which is, I believe, is possible. Because in some other area, we have been able to do that. Some other states are already pushing that. They're pushing laws that will help citizens be able to take advantage of, hey, I invest in this thing, I should be able to collect some return on that. So it is a tangible and very doable structure. The only thing will be to negotiate with the utility company on how to get it done, but it is very doable.
One other issue is I spoke with several legislators, and with this Build Back Better, a lot of green energy money is going to be coming to the state of Colorado. It's not here yet, but I guess they're going to start trying to work with our local council governments. And Felix, you know, you'll probably be the first one there, being a CCI president, that knows when this money comes in. So this way, we're at the table right away, and it's good to have you there, because, you know, with you and Tony over there, you know, up in Denver, you know, on his borders through CCI, or at least we're there knowing when the money's going to be coming in. So this way, it can benefit Los Alamos County, the residents, the low-income people, and also the city and the counties to get, you know, state and federal funding for some of this green energy to take place here.
Definitely. And I believe you already have the airport project.
The airport project.
That could generate some, you know, we can have some green technology push into that aspect as well, and generate some, I would say, some grants from the federal government or other things, so that will help investors, make investors more comfortable. Say, hey, you know, the city is also, or the county is also helping. It doesn't take much for investors to move. They just need a little help from the county or the city to say, hey, we can do this. And as far as the partnership goes,
everybody puts a little skin in the game.
Sure. And I'm really interested in the conversation that's ongoing with the ARPA representative. I want to see what relationship with our city representatives as well, because I think that's going to be imperative. It's going to be so important that the authority given to any elected official is only that is given to us by our constituents, because we know that the benefit, it appears to be there. So Mr. Torres, if you can keep us abreast of the development of those communications with ARPA, and then perhaps broker a meeting with the city representatives, I think from perspective of where we stand in the county, certainly there is personally an appetite to continue the research and the investigation of this possibility. And I know Los Angeles County, Gordon, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing with all the mine with Evergreen. And just, I think the conversation has gained the momentum to go to the next level. I think the opportunity is there, and I know, not speaking on behalf of our friends from the New Elk, but if there is opportunity to put a cent back in the pocket of those entities, is money that we can reinvest back for other initiatives. So I too have done a bit of numbers in my career, and so I enjoy that perspective.
I just wanted to say, you know, this really shouldn't be a political issue. It's not about Republicans, Democrats, independents. This is about the fact that we're Americans. We need to do this in America. It is an opportunity to let us become more independent, more free. With everything going on in this world today,
we don't join forces as a nation. We are headed for trouble. And I think everybody here sees that clearly. I'm not trying to scare you into doing this, but I'm telling you, I did my due diligence and created for me a dream to bring this here to the rest of the nation. And we shouldn't be fighting over the lines. This is something for all of us, and more importantly, for our children's children.
And this board, you need to know, operates not as an R or a D. We operate as a C, and we represent the whole county. So, I want to make that clear.
Thank you so much. I know we're having at 1 o'clock, we're going to be meeting at the county fairgrounds for the presentation. I'll be there. Once again, Commissioner Tony has another engagement. The governor is here in Trinidad today. And later on, spend a couple of days and look at the beauty of just the outdoor, visit our community, the historical perspective, and see the scars on the city of the struggles and the victories that has been celebrated here in this part of the state. So thank you so much.
There will be lunch served over there. Refreshments served over there as well. So if you want to go earlier, just to take a look at it.
Very good. Thank you so much. And we're not going to adjourn this meeting. It continues. We invite you all to come over to the county fairgrounds. Thank you.